Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Let's read the word this morning, Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 1, Passion Translation. It says this: "Then suddenly, after I wrote down these messages, I saw a heavenly portal open before me, and the same trumpet voice, and I heard speaking with me at the beginning, broke the silence and said, 'Ascend into this realm. I want to reveal to you what must happen after this.' Instantly, I was taken into the spirit realm, and behold, I saw a heavenly throne set in place, and someone seated upon it. His appearance was sparkling like crystal and glowing like a carnelian gemstone. Surrounding the throne was a circle of green light like an emerald rainbow. Encircling the great throne were 24 thrones with elders in glistening white garments seated upon them, each wearing a golden crown of victory. And pulsing from the throne were blinding flashes of lightning, crashes of thunder and voices. And burning before the throne are seven blazing torches, which represent the seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne, there was pavement like a crystal sea of glass. Around the throne and on each stood four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature resembled a lion. The second an ox, the third had a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of the four living creatures had six wings full of eyes. All around, under their wings, they worshiped without ceasing, day and night." Lord, we thank you for your word, that it's a lamp unto our feet, that it's a light into our path. I pray, God, this morning that your word does not return void, but it accomplishes what it's meant and it's sent to do. Oh, Lord, we pray for joy to enter this room. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I'm so glad you came to church this morning." Amen. Now look at your other neighbor and say, "You look like you could use some church this morning." Come on, tell them, "You look like you could use a little church this morning." Doesn't it feel good to be in the house of God? Well, praise the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 10 in the English translation there, it says this: "As for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side, the four had the face of an ox on the left, and the four had the face of an eagle." This morning I'm going to talk to you about the face of the ox. And if you aren't here last week, I'll just recap real quick on the face of the lion. I hope that you got a roar on the inside of you. Come on. What believers in here that you had a roar in you this week from the lion of the tribe of Judah? Oh, I was hoping for a little bit better than that. Who in here this morning has a roar? Amen. There we go. Yeah, I told you before, it may start out, you may sound like Simba, but over time, you're going to say Mufasa. Come on. Amen. And so, especially in the time and day that we're living in, it's very important that you have a lion roaring on the inside of you. And I won't go into full detail. I want to encourage you. You can go to our website. You can go on Spotify, and you can listen to that Lion of the Tribe of Judah. But there's four living symbols of the Messiah here. And the reason for four different creatures or faces is they demonstrate his person and character because he hasn't always done the same thing. He moves through phases. At different times through Scripture, he's had a different purpose or a mission, and all of them are very important. We see that these line up, especially in the book of Revelation, how it lines up. It talks first about the lion, then it goes to the ox, and then it goes to the face of the man, and then it goes to the face of the eagle. That lines up with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in the book of Matthew, we see him as the King of the Jews. We see him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We see that he comes, as we talked last week, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as that king. But we see the genealogy that it's of Matthew. And then we go to the book of Mark, and we're going to talk about that today, is the face of the ox. And we see no genealogy whatsoever of where he came from, because an ox is a servant. That's what an ox does. And there's no need to have a genealogy when it's just a servant, because there's no king, no queen in place to put him where he belongs. But he came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't come to be served, but he came to be a servant for you and I. We see in the book of Luke, and we obviously are celebrating that with 36 Christmas trees in this house. Avis, you win the big prize. Where are you, Avis? All right, very good. Thank you. 36, we celebrate the man. We see the genealogy of the virgin birth of Mary, and that is the face of the man. The fourth face that we see is the face of the eagle, and it's the book of John. We see the recorded history of John chapter 11. It's the resurrection of Lazarus, and I can't wait to share about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. I'm telling you, there is no other person out there, there is no other God that people serve that can say that their God was resurrected on the third day. And we have the resurrection of the eagle. But the word Lord, listen to this, the word Lord is absent from the book of Mark until twice at the very end. In Matthew's gospel, in Luke's gospel, in John's gospel, the word Lord appears 73 times, but not in Mark. Why? Because he's a servant. And in Mark chapter 10 and verse 43 in the NIV, it says, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." But how many of you know just because he's your servant doesn't mean he doesn't have power? And in Mark 16 is a scripture in there that all of us know. It says, "These signs will follow him who believe, will lay hands on the sick, and that they shall recover." He's talking about a power that comes. There's power in an ox. But he's talking about service of what me and you do. See, it's one thing to come here and to celebrate the man. It's one thing to come here to celebrate the lion. It's one thing to come here and celebrate the eagle. But you know what the ox does? The ox is celebrated here, but the ox goes out. The ox goes out and lays hands on the sick and sees them recover. The ox shares the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody else. He is a servant. That's what he does. And if you're going to see this ox displayed in your life, you've got to have those things in you. See, the lion, he's the mightiest wild animal in the jungle. The eagle is the mightiest bird that flies. The man is the mightiest of them all because he can take dominion over each and every one of them. But the ox is the mightiest domestic animal. The ox is different from the three, meaning this: a man, an eagle, and a lion does whatever it wants and goes and does whatever it wants to do. But an ox, every single morning, his decisions are made for him. And this morning, I want to talk about the ox being the sin bearer. Aren't you thankful that he died on the cross? Aren't you thankful that he bore his sins for you and me? The ox is the greatest beast burden, as the Rolling Stones, they sing about him. The greatest of all sacrifices in the Old Testament is the ox. But how many of you know Jesus came to bear your sin and my sin? See, before we can talk about the ox and what he does, it's very important that you see something. And this ain't a message that is popular, I promise you, throughout the world today and in churches, but we're at our place in America because it's not being taught today. But it's important that you all know this, that sin can take a horrible toll on people. Sin can take a horrible toll on people's lives and in their families and their relationships. You know why? Because it's so deceptive. Sin is so deceptive because it doesn't look like it. It's taking a toll, but it is. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse 25, it says, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing," listen to this word, "pleasures of sin." How many of you know sin can be fun for a while? It can be enjoyable. It can be a great time. But the Bible also says in Proverbs 9:17, "Stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." If we do it in secret and don't get caught, it's even more fun. But can I give you the truth this morning? You can't sow its seeds and not reap its harvest. Johnny Cash sang about it. Elvis Presley sang about it. What was done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can slip inside, run and hide. You know the song? Maybe you don't, but whatever. Ain't got time for that. Galatians 6:7 says this, don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. See, sin on the surface, it may look like God can be ridiculed or mocked. He can be made fun of. See, I didn't get caught. But this is why he says, don't be deceived. Because it's not the case. There is always a time to pay the bill. How many of you know everything costs something? For some people, it's in this life. For others, it's not. The Bible tells us very clearly in 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. As we see mankind judged, there's going to be some people that we're going to say, they were a dirtbag, and I knew it. I knew they had it coming. But how many of you know there's going to be other people that you say, oh my gosh, I cannot believe they were caught up in the things they were caught up in. There are some people that they live their whole life and not have to pay the toll of their sin. They somehow get by with it, but the scripture says it will always, always, always catch up with you. The Bible says your sin will find you out. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15 says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. That means the way of the sinner is hard. Sin always has a price. I remember when Frazzleberries first came to Amarillo. Y'all remember Frazzleberries? Frazzleberries. And now we have orange leaf. There you go. I almost said the workout place, and that ain't where I'm going. I promise you that. But I remember the first time we all went. We all went as a family. And we went to Frazzleberries, and you could get as much ice cream as you want. Do you want the small bowl or the large bowl, sir? I want the large. Come on, somebody. And it's yogurt. I'll get twice as much. And they said it's only so much an ounce or whatever. And so I filled it up, and I went to another one. These two sound gross together, but it's ice cream. It all sounds good, right? And so I began to fill it up, and then I went to the dressing place where they had gummy bears, where they had Reese's, where they had Snickers, where they had all that stuff, and I began to pile it on. Amen. Hallelujah. Who's having ice cream this afternoon? I know I am. And we begin to pile it up, and we go through, and we put it on that scale. I said, sir, that'll be $45.67. It's like the place like Fuddruckers. Y'all heard of Fuddruckers? It's the same deal. Before they changed it up, you could either get the quarter or the half or the three-quarter or the pounder. And then you can add all this stuff up, but they didn't go by just it being a pound. They added it, they weighed it, and it's so much of weight. And you're like, I have to pay $45.67 for ice cream? This don't make no sense whatsoever. But can I tell you, sin's the exact same way. Sin is the exact same way. You think, oh, it tastes good, it looks good, it smells right, it looks good, but next thing you know, you've gone from one place because you got away with it here, you get away with it right over here. And then you get away with it with the gummy bears and then the Snickers, and next thing you know, you're enjoying yourself and having a big time. But when it comes time to pay the price, how many of you know it's more than you have to pay? Sin always has a price. It's the same way with sin. There is pleasure for a while, but when it comes to time to paying the bill, it's not worth it. It's a ripoff. The payment was way too much than you were willing to pay. Sin has a reward for a season, but at the end, it's always way too much. What is sin? Sin's an act. It's a thought. It's a word. It's a deed. It's not a condition. The biggest downfall of sin is that it eats away at your walk with Christ. Sin will keep you away from hearing God's voice. It keeps you from knowing, from understanding Him. For this reason, it has the heaviest toll on us. In Isaiah 59 and Romans 6, it says that it separates us from God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life. I know this is hard and you're not saying amen, but I'm telling you, we need the ox in our life. You're robbed of your confidence with God when you're in sin. It robs you of your ability to understand the word. When we give place to this in our life, it keeps us from being able to walk with the Lord. It robs you. I've seen it so many times rob people of their self-esteem. It robs people of their self-confidence. It's so important to get rid of it. And I'll tell you, it's so important when you sin, repent. Because the enemy will put something in your head that God does not forgive you. He'll put shame, guilt, condemnation. He'll put all those things in you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And how many of you know sometimes we choose to go a while before we ask for forgiveness? We go 3 or 4 days, or sometimes we go 3 or 4 weeks before we really talk to God again, because we feel rotten for what we did. So what do? We wait a little while. But what is 30 seconds to God? What is 30 minutes to God? What is 30 hours? What is 30 days to the Lord? It's all the same. He lives in a realm of eternity. But can I tell you this? For your sake, repent. As my dad used to say, repaint and thin no more. Amen. That was a corny preacher joke, but whatever. Can I tell you this? Don't punish yourself for 30 days. You need to immediately ask God to forgive you and run back to a relationship with the Lord. There are different relationships, you know, that we can damage. And how many of you know a relationship with God is different than a relationship with your spouse? But God, he forgives us and he throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. It may not happen with a wife that way, but it does with God. He forgives you of your sin. But just like he told the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, he says, go and sin no more. God sees your heart. He sees your sincerity. A wife may need some time, right? You may have to do some things to gain some trust back, but don't get upset with that person. It may take some time to show some fruit. But when you're really sorry, you will take full responsibility for what you've done. Quit blaming everybody and everything. Well, it was just how I was raised. And that may be the case. But I'm telling you this morning, if you come with that mentality, you give it to the ox and put it on his back, you can live in freedom today. You may say, it was he or she who showed me how to do this. If it wasn't for them, I'd be all right. No, let's give it to the ox this morning. The devil didn't make you do anything. You chose to do what you did. You chose. The sooner you say, I have no one to blame, can I tell you, forgiveness comes rushing in your door. Forgiveness comes. How many of y'all thankful that God forgave you of your sin and he cleansed you from all unrighteousness? Amen. It's a deed, a word. It's not a condition. But in Proverbs 24:16, it says this, for a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. I've learned this, that there are things that you may deal with, but get back up. Because if you allow this to stay, something else will begin to develop. You know what it's called? It's called iniquity. And iniquity is no bueno. It's a serious flaw in your character. In fact, the word iniquity means this in the Hebrew. It means to be bent. It means to be wrung out. It means crooked or perverse. And can I tell you this? There's even people in this room, and people all over the world in America, they get enslaved to iniquity. It's like going to a toolbox and finding a tool that is bent. How did it get bent? It just came that way. No, it didn't come that way. There was something that it went through that bent it. Or like a wheel that you try to, on a bicycle that's hit something so hard that it's bent the wheel, or an axle that has been bent. What happens? It ruins everything around it. It ruins the tires. It's hard for you to go in a straight path if you have a bent wheel inside of a bicycle. That's exactly what iniquity does. It's something that's been in you, and it affects every relationship in your life. Iniquity is a flaw that keeps something from being utilized. It keeps us from being used by God. Iniquity will mar your character. I remember in youth, we had a couple of them, but there was a young man. I remember he had an iniquity of lying. Have you ever met those people before? Were they, you could say, what color is the sky? And he would say it was green. He couldn't tell you hello without lying. Everything that he said was a lie. I knew it. I mean, you could prove it to him that he was wrong and that he was lying, and he would have a lie to cover up the other lie. What is that? That's an iniquity. They don't even realize that they're doing it second nature to them. They're bound is what they are. It affects them because it begins to bend you over in your spirit, begins to warp your inner being. It's like this. If you was to carry heavy bags all the time, see, in the beginning, it may be pleasure. It may not be miserable. There may be some pleasure at it at one time. But how many of you know, over time, it's like the first horse that I shot, it wasn't that big of a deal. But the second one, the third one, now being under thousands of horses now, there are some things in my hips that I go, oh, sometimes. Ain't that right, Gabe? See, it's over time, what it does is begin to affect my whole entire body. See, carrying heavy bags, you'll begin to have back and shoulder pain. You'll begin to have effects inside of your knees and even in your feet. Iniquity does the same thing to your inner man. Doesn't matter how strong you are, over time, it will wear you out. I think of a young man that was inside the church here, and he was in and out of Life Challenge, and he was a great young man. In fact, he had such a great personality, had great character about him. He had gotten off meth and drugs and had a wife, had kids. And I remember he was doing really, really, really well. And one night, him and his wife thought, they decided, you know what, we'll go somewhere for our anniversary. And his wife that night brought a bottle of wine. And that bottle of wine went back to sticking needles in his arm and smoking meth on a regular basis. I tell you what, he'd get right and he'd come back in here and he would come up to the front. He'd weep and wail. And he would get things right just for a time. He got remarried. Then he lost that spouse again, went out. And I'm telling you, I don't know how he's doing today. But I pray for him. I hope that he gets some things turned around. But what is he doing? There's an iniquity. There's something that's bent on the inside of him. I'm telling you this morning, you think what you're getting away with right now, you think that it's not that big of a deal, but if you're not careful, you'll be just like that young man. You'll lose everything that you have if you're not careful. You may think that it's, oh, it's just no big deal. It's just a one-night stand. It's just this, but that one-night stand will begin, then you'll move in with her, then you'll be sleeping together, then next thing you know, I'm telling you, it slips in and it's pleasurable. For a time, but whatever you sow, that's how you also reap. You got to be very careful about this. It's not an iniquity, it's not a sin, not an act. It's a character flaw that bruises and damages you. Without fail, it will then damage the most precious relationships that you have. But here's the good news. Jesus came to deal with sin and iniquity. He came for us to put it on his back. Come on, you ought to thank God for that this morning. Your grandpappy's pappy's pappy may hold it against you for the rest of your life, but God says, you put it on my back. Amen? Isaiah 53, the prophet here that lived approximately 700 years before, in this passage, it's so accurate, almost as if he were there. It's the foreknowledge of God. In fact, we've been studying it on Wednesday nights in Bible school, talking about how accurate that it was. But I want to kind of look at it from a different light this morning. In Isaiah 53 and verse 1 in the Passion Translation, I went ahead and went with this, Pastor Michelle, because it's so good. It says, who has truly believed our revelation? To whom will Yahweh reveal his mighty arm? I love the old King James that says, whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Amen? I'm not going to believe CNN. I've never believed CNN. I'm not going to believe Fox. I'm not even going to believe Newsmax. You know what I'm going to believe? I'm going to believe the written word of the Almighty God. He says, reveal his mighty arm. This arm of the Lord here is, this is the power of God. We saw this in Revelation chapter 1 when John is undone and he falls to the ground and he picks us up by his mighty righteous right arm. How many of y'all thankful for the righteous right arm of the Lord? When we are weak, he makes us strong. When we are poor, he makes us rich. His grace is sufficient for us. His mercy is new every single morning. But he's asking questions about the generation that will witness the coming of the Messiah. That's you and me. Who has truly believed our revelation. And so in Isaiah 53, 2, it says, he sprouted up like a tender plant before the Lord, like a root in parched soil. Now, this scripture means a whole lot of things, but I want to come from the angle of this. He has a very ordinary beginning, is what he's saying. He sprouted up like a tender plant before the Lord, like a root parched in parched soil. He's born and grows up here. The root out of dry ground means the Messiah comes not during a time of great revival. In fact, this was a time of turning away from the Lord. That is why it's dry. But listen to this. He possesses no distinguished beauty or outward splendor to catch our attention. Nothing special in his appearance to make us desire him. He didn't have anything outstanding in his appearance. Jesus was very ordinary in his looks. When it describes David, it describes him as someone who was ruddy, who was red, complected, and beautiful countenance. When it describes Joseph, it says he was a goodly-looking person and well-favored. In fact, when it describes the man Moses, he says he was a proper child. And Pharaoh's daughter saw that he was special from his looks. How many of y'all know when they first come out, they all look a little bit strange anyway? Just to throw that out there. All of mine were perfect and beautiful. I'll just say that because they were miracles from God. But it says this, he has no form. In the King James, it says he has no form or majesty. He didn't look outstanding. He was very plain. But that's not what drew people to him. The ox may not be something that's beautiful. In Isaiah 53 and verse 3, it says, he was despised and rejected by man, a man of deep sorrows who was no stranger to suffering and grief. We hid our faces from him in disgust and considered him a nobody, not worthy of respect. What was he? He was rejected by people and turned away. But in Isaiah 53, 4, it says, yet he was the one who carried. Everybody say carry. He carried our sickness and endured the torment of our sufferings. We viewed him as one who was being punished for something he himself had done, as one who was struck down by God and brought low. Can I tell you, that's exactly what an ox does. Endured the torment of suffering. When I was thinking about this last night, I was thinking about an ox, but I was also thinking about roping steers. I remember roping at a guy's place one time, and the guys were loading him in the chute, shocking him, and the dad said this, I hope when you die, you come back as a roping steer, because I'm going to shock the daylights out of you. But this scripture says this, we viewed him as one who was being punished for something he himself had done. He who knew no sin was made sin for you and me. He carried them. The idea here is that exactly what an ox would do. He carried it. He took your burden that you couldn't possibly bear and he loaded it on an animal like an ox. He carried our grief. He carried our sorrow. He carried our sickness. And he carries our diseases. Can I say that again? With maybe a little of excitement in here. He carries our grief. He carries our sorrow. He carries our sickness and he carries diseases. You don't put that COVID-19 on you. You put it on the ox. He carries it for you and me. In verse 5 it says, but it was because of our rebellious deeds that he was pierced. And because of our sins that he was crushed. He endured the punishment. That's exactly what an ox does. He's punished every single day. That made us completely whole, and in his wounding we found our healing. In verse 11 it says, after the great anguish of his soul, he will see light and be fully satisfied. By knowing him, the righteous one, my servant, the ox, will make many to be righteous. because he, their sin bearer, the ox, carried away their sin. So I, Yahweh, will assign him a portion among great multitude, and he will triumph and divide the spoils of victory with his mighty ones. Come on, who's a mighty one in here this morning? All because he poured out his lifeblood to death. He was counted among the worst of sinners, yet he carried sin's burden for many and intercedes for those who are rebels. Come on, you ought to give glory for that this morning. What did he do? He carried them away like a beast of burden. And in order for him to do this, what did he have to do? He had to be bruised. He had to have a crown of thorns on his head. This wasn't a wreath. This was a skull cap that went inside of his skull. He was bruised and bruising from beating him with the palms of their hand from top to bottom. He was bruised for your and I iniquity. He was bruised for your and I sin. What Jesus looks like physically is what happens to the soul of a human being that is bound by iniquity. It's beat. It's been shocked with a hot shot. It's hurt, it's marred, it's scarred. Iniquity is like the bruise of a banana. It's big black mark, injury, flaw that needs to be fixed. But what I want you to see, Christ forgives us of our sins. And he says, you don't have to carry that mark anymore. You can put that mark on me, the beast of burden. And sometimes believers carry their past life right into their new life and in their walk with Christ. And even though we have been forgiven legally, they have not chose to be cleansed of their iniquity. They're still carrying the baggage. And it takes away the joy of their relationships. But I have good news for you this morning. Jesus took your iniquity. He carried it for you and me. You can walk in forgiveness and be cleansed. The problem can be remedied. And I believe this morning you can leave here free. Whom the Son sets free, come on, is free indeed. You cannot just be forgiven, but now be different in your character. Your kids will see something different in you. Your boss will see something different in you. Your wife will see something different in you. He was pierced for our transgressions, meaning he paid for our sin. He was bruised for our character trait that produces sin in our life. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 18, dads, you pay attention to this. It says, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. You know what I've seen before? I've seen that dad was a liar, and now that their kid was a liar. See, that young man that lied to me in youth all of those years, as I begin to talk to dad, I begin to see why he lied the way he lied. Because it was passed to the next generation. But can I tell you this morning, Christ came to heal and cut out iniquity. And just because your grandpappy's pappy was addicted to meth doesn't mean that you have to be addicted to meth. And just because your grandpappy's pappy was addicted to pornography doesn't mean that you have to be addicted to pornography. You can leave here free. You can put it on the weight of him. Hebrews 4:12 says, for we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, and it pierces more sharply than a two-edged sword. Full of energy. You know what an ox is? He's full of energy. When you think you've wore him out, he can keep going. It will even penetrate the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow, meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our heart. See, when you begin to meditate on the Word of God, you don't have to be a liar anymore. You don't have to have lust anymore. It'll begin to cut it off, and he'll carry it for you and me. You don't have to have a temper anymore. Say, you know what? It's just me. It's just who I am. It's my personality. I can tell you, if you just submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, you can put it on the cart of the ox that he carried and bore for you and me. You don't have to have a temper anymore. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to have lust. You don't have to be envious anymore. You don't have to be the gospel that your mama is or your grandmama's mama. Well, it's just who I am. No, it's not. You're of a new kingdom. I'm trying to get you this morning to see that you can have the face of the ox. I said it last week. Thank God that he was the lamb, but he was the lamb. But when he is resurrected up into the heavens and he sees this crystal glass, what is he seeing? He's seeing today, and he's seeing the face of the ox, and he's still the face of the ox. He came to bear it then, but he's still bearing it for you and me. He can take that addiction from you. My question to you this morning is this: what kind of baggage are you carrying today? He didn't come to just forgive you of your sin. He came to bear your iniquity. He came to cut it out and give you power to rise above it. I've shared this once before, but it's God put it on my heart years ago. See, if you can't see him as the ox, you're saying this: the work that Adam did in the Garden of Eden is greater than what Christ did on the cross. I'm going to say it one more time. The work that Adam did in the Garden of Eden is greater than what Christ did on the cross. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that Jesus was the beast of burden for my life. Come on, let's stand to our feet this morning. I know this is a heavy message, and I know that it's intense, but can I tell you, while we are where we are today in the United States of America, it's because there is iniquity. It's because there's sin. There's never going to be a perfect world, and I understand that. But it doesn't mean that sin still has to be in the church of the living God. It doesn't mean that iniquity still has to be in the house of God. You know, I see so many people that they're not living in freedom today. They can't hear the voice of God because there's something in their life that is separating them from hearing the word of the Lord. And can I tell you this morning, you don't have to leave here. You don't have to leave here living that way. I believe that you can leave here today being a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. You can leave here today, cast all my care on him, for he cares for me. And can I just tell you this? Well, I'm not in sin. Well, if you come to the preacher and say, do you think it's a sin to do this? Can I tell you, 9 times out of 10, it's a sin if you're asking that question. God gave you a conscience for a reason. Now, I believe in Timothy, it says a conscience that has been seared is with a hard iron. But if you have to go to a scripture to justify the sin that you're living in, it's a sin, and it's iniquity, and it's separating you from what God wants to do in your life. Amen? I know this is heavy, and I know this is hard, but it doesn't have to be heavy, because you can put it on the ox. That's why he's the ox for you and me. Aren't you thankful that he's the mightiest of domestic animals? Come on, amen. Aren't you thankful that he's the mightiest of domestic animals? That he carried our sin, that he carried our sickness. Sin's pleasurable for a time, but I'm telling you that over time, it will eat you alive, and it will hurt you. It'll hurt your relationship with your wife. It'll hurt your relationship with your kids. You know why I do the things that I do today? Because I want my kids to see. I want my kids to live in victory. I want them not to be in defeat. I want them to see that I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're in this room, you say, you know what, Pastor? This isn't a call for a new creation. This is a call this morning. I want to see anybody who's bold enough to say, you know what, there's an iniquity in my life. There's something that's bent me. There's something that's bent in me. I've justified it. I've tried to make it on my own, but I'm telling you this morning, I believe there is an anointing here today to put it on the ox. If you're in this room and there's an iniquity, If you're in this room, if there's a sin, there's something that's keeping you separated from God, I'm telling you, there's an anointing here today to break that yoke off of you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know why? Because he takes it off of you and he puts it on himself. He's the ox for you, for me. I know I'm talking to a female in here. I know I'm talking to a male in here. And there is something, what was done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run all you want to, but I'm telling you, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You can walk in freedom. You can walk in victory. What dad am I talking to? What husband am I talking to? What wife am I talking to? Who am I talking to this morning? Come on, this is a special moment. There's an anointing here. I want you to be bold enough. You say, Pastor, you know what? You're talking to me. I want to let you know that everybody in this room, we're behind you. If that's you, just be bold enough to come forward right now. I want to pray for you. I want to lay my hands. I want to pray for you. Come on, be bold enough. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Grateful he's the ox. Life gets heavy. Life gets hard. Come on, I believe there's more in here. I believe there is more people in this room. There is something bent in you. And it's affecting relationships. Where are you? Praise God. It's affecting people in your life. There's something bent. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, people of God, if you know how to pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit right now. If you don't, just pray for these that are forward, that are here. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Lord, in Jesus' name. Pastors, would y'all come help me pray for some this morning? Come up here and help me pray for some. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just come before you right now in Jesus' name. The Bible tells us this. I shared it with you all ago in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may be out there this morning and say, you know what? There's sin in my life. Maybe, I believe there's some that dealt with some things this morning, but I believe there's some in here that you say, you know what? I've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Can I tell you, do me a favor. Don't leave here today without inviting Jesus to come live on the inside of you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've said. I'm telling you, I hope I revealed it to you this morning through the Word of God that he wants to take that weight for you and I. Thank God he's the ox. I don't care what you smoked. I don't care what you've said. I don't care where you've been. God wants you to walk in freedom, and he wants you to walk in forgiveness. You're in here with every head bowed, with every eye closed, and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior, and I'm not leaving this place today without knowing him. I want you to pray this prayer with me. I'm telling you, he will fill the gap. He will fill the hurt. He'll be there for you and me. Believers across the room, let's pray this together with those. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. But on the third day, you rose again. I know you're alive. and I invite you into my heart. Make me new. Set me free. This day forward, I'll live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.